I was quite closely connected with those letters and the well, the letters, not the tape. I took the letters down to Dr. Totty at Birmingham University at the forensics. And he looked at the style of writing and he came up with some ideas which were later to be used in eliminating people from the Enquirer. I also took them to a lady called Diane Simpson, who was a graphologist who appeared on a famous television programme called Lifelines. And she gave us an absolutely brilliant description or breakdown of the author of the letter. Sadly, of course, as we now know today, this was not Peter Sutcliffe. The difficulty now, we had those letters and we had the tapes, was to look at the information they had contained in them and to decide whether they were genuine or whether it was an hoax. They were compared to the murders and to a murder that he mentioned in the tapes, a murder of a lady called Harrison in Preston. And I must admit there were many, many similarities between her murder and the previous Ripper murders. The fateful decision was then made that the tapes were genuine. The police were limited with their access to a lot of technology that we now take today for granted. Computers, for argument's sake. There were no computers as such. The third floor of the police station, which was the Ripper headquarters in Leeds at the time, had to be reinforced to take the sheer weight of paper filing systems. There was no DNA, so the identification, the checks of the bodies, the scenes, no one looked for DNA because there was no such thing as DNA. There was no cameras, street cameras like we have today. Everything was at a very limited stage. I'd like to think that everything was kept very professional. Whichever way the police went, unless they went the right way, they would be criticised. Had they decided to ignore it all, and as I said earlier, there was a lot of evidence to support a connection with the Preston murder and the other Ripper murders, but had it been ignored and then years later it was found out that the murderer had come from Sunderland, then I think that the police would have a very difficult time trying to explain why they didn't go down that line. It became your whole life. You went to work every day, hoping that that would be the day that the Ripper would be caught. And what else could you do to achieve that goal? It did obviously affect your home life, it affected your family, because you were working long hours, you were very rarely getting days off or whatever, and it became almost a personal challenge to try and catch this man before he struck again. The Ripper struck about half a mile from where we are now speaking. And that was on a playing field at Oaks in Huddersfield on a girl called Teresa Sykes. And my own daughter was out that evening and she'd gone to a bonfire not far from the area. And it's frightening to think that my own daughter was in the area at the time.